Okay.
And just because there's been some confusion in the past, I want to make sure we're clear that the 90 minutes, when you say use as you see fit, that means allocate as they see fit between the additional cross-examination, the additional direct testimony by Mr. Miller, the rebuttal and closing, correct?
It's everything.
Okay.
It's everything. Rebuttal.
And
we understand that, but we would just, the testimony that Mr. Miller puts on right now, I've just said 2 minutes, but I would hope that if the if you have questions of Mr. Miller, that we're not sitting here having these things deducted from our time.
You know, and I have not done that. I have stopped the clock, and if he's got up to 10 minutes. You've been given the time. If he does it faster, you've made out.
Thank you.
Okay? All right.
Excuse me, before we move on,
yes.
I'm sending an email to Mr. Polhemus. What time do you want me to tell him?
Well,
after lunch?
I would say in maybe 45 minutes he should be available, if possible. Okay, this next category.
Chair?
Yes.
Can you give us and the audience some time? When do you plan on breaking for lunch?
Well, I don't know right now. My sense is that I was hoping to utilize the lunch period so the board could go into closed session and deliberate, so that we're doing two things at once. And in order to do that, we have to have our closing arguments completed. So,
well, Mr. Chair, then give me some approximate time when that's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would put us out at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, that's if you're allowing 90 minutes.
Well, obviously, we're not going to be able to do what I wanted to do, which was to go into a closed session during lunch. So, you know, I would like to... Let's look at this again, Mr. Jeffries, when we've gone through the rest of these objections that we've got and issues, and see how far we can get into their additional time with some of the witnesses. That might be when we break at that point, and I don't know when that is, but before 1:30. In other words, by 1:30 we'll have lunch. We'll break for lunch.
Well, it brought that question to mind is because if you're asking Mr. Bohemus to be available at 1:15, I was wondering what period of time thereafter this was going to happen.
I got an email from Mr. Polhemus. He's actually listening to this, and he says he's standing by.
Okay, good.
Good for him.
So,
good.
Darren, send me another email if you need to.
Okay, good. All right. Let's continue. Ms. Schaffner, let's see. Page 5. Oh, God. All right.
And I'm sorry to belabor the time point, but there's been much testimony on the due process point and how much time is appropriate, but I want to make clear for the record, triggering off of Mr. Seitz's just recent statement about not deducting board time questions from the CSD's time. In addition to the 2 hours and 40 minutes granted to the CSD and to staff the last meeting for their direct examination, cross-examination time, there were hours of questions by the board which were not deducted from anybody's time. And there were hours of testimony elicited from both sides, and mostly the CSD, of giving them the opportunity to address substantive issues in response to board questions. So I don't want the record to make it look like there were only, a limited number, that the specified minutes were the only testimony allowed. There was something like 13 hours of hearing.
No, I think we've allowed a lot of time for a lot of argument, you know, to come in, even at this point, through the proceedings so far. So I feel comfortable with where we're headed. Okay, I'd like to get to the document issues now. Let's see. Updated exhibit summary and rulings document. Ms. Schaffner, do you want to describe for us the updated document prepared by Michael Thomas for us?
Yes, I believe everybody got a copy of the updated exhibit list. It's entitled Master Document List 1 and Master Document List 2, I believe, as well as the prosecution team's index. What that document does is an updated version of what was handed out at the December 1st and 2nd hearing, which it has been updated to reflect the documents that were subsequently provided by the CSD that they inadvertently didn't provide on their first proffer in November. And the documents that were, the chair gave the CSD an additional period of time to provide the documents they thought they had. Those documents that were provided by the additional extended deadline have been admitted. There are also some documents that are that the chair is recommending not be admitted, including approximately 33 hours of DVD DVD videos of hearings, which were presented to the board on December the 12th, I believe. The chair felt that that was submitted too late for any reasonable period of time to review those and ask for a summary of what was on those videos in order to admit them. No summary was forthcoming, and based on the fact that any probative value of those DVDs not having any summary to know what they might be is outweighed by the risk of undue consumption of time, the chair is exercising his authority under Section Government Code Section 11513, Subdivision F, to exclude the DVDs. There are also a number of documents in that list that were listed but or not listed, which were added, which were documents produced in a Public Records Act request from the Tribune. And I believe those were not in the index, but they were provided on the extended deadline. And the chair has been considering whether to admit those. And the question for the CSD is whether they were one of the documents where they intended to be submitted in November, or these new documents within the scope of ongoing compliance efforts. Because if it doesn't fit into one of those categories, there's so far no basis for admitting them. And that also ties into the outstanding allegation by the CSD that the board has failed to comply with Public Records Act requests. So maybe we could deal with both those issues now. First, I guess I would ask, has the Public Records Act issue been resolved? Do you feel that you have received the documents that were requested by the CSD?
I'm not sure what Public Records Act request you're talking about.
That was in, let me find the...
Was that the one from Ms. Tacker?
Yeah,
that came in is really a.
It was
a CSD board member using a Public Records Act
request.
That's
correct. That's correct. I believe Mr. Onstott's letter requests cites to this. It's dated December 12th. Mr. Onstott says that the CSD is awaiting full response from the regional board staff, and that asks that these documents be added to the record, and that and references the chair to the Tribune's website for these documents. After much research and comparing of documents and comparing of documents provided by the CSD to the previously provided index, Mr. Thomas determined that these were that about 200 documents that were provided on the 12th that weren't on the index appear to be the ones that were referenced on the Tribune website. And I infer those are the ones that you were talking about for the Public Records Act request. This is your objection, your proffer. I would ask that you clarify.
I think
we are mixing up two things. The first thing is that Julie Tacker, who's a director of the CSD, made a Public Records Act request and said that she was acting in her capacity as a private citizen, even though the request was made very shortly before this hearing started. Our response was that she is not a member of the public, which is defined to include public representatives, but in the interests of good government, we agreed to produce all the documents that she requested as if it were a valid Public Records Act request, and we did that. At one point, there was some question about whether we had... It was a request for emails. And at one point, there was a question about whether we had additional emails that we hadn't already produced on our backup tapes. And Mr. Packard researched that, and it was determined that we didn't have any additional emails. Okay. In addition to the emails that we had electronically, We advised Ms. Tacker to come in and look at our paper files, which she did, in case there were emails that we no longer had electronically that had been printed and filed. And she did that before the December 1 hearing. So there are no further documents. The other issue
is... Can I just check in with Mr. Onstott just to make sure that that request has been resolved? Do you concur with what Ms. Okun has represented?
Yes and no. That some documents were produced, but I'm not going to represent that the Public Records Act request was honored by either the state or the regional board because it was denied. And saying that we deny your request because you're working for a public entity, we take issue with, and that issue will be decided in a different forum. So the validity of the denial, I agree with Ms. Okun that we're kind of mixing apples and oranges here. I'm not here to say that the Public Records Act requests have been complied with because our position is that they have not. I will say that some documents have been produced voluntarily by both the state and the regional board.
Wait a minute. I don't want to mix things up here. Did you get the documents that were requested in the Public Records Act request? Did you get those?
No.
Okay. Do you know which ones were withheld?
I have yet to receive one.
We gave him all the emails we had. Not him. I'm sorry. We gave there were two Public Records Act requests. One was to the regional board from Ms. Tacker. We provided Ms. Tacker with all the responsive documents in our possession, other than documents that were privileged or not otherwise subject to disclosure. There was a second Public Records Act request, and the response to that request was what I think those 200 pages of documents were. Now, I know that the district submitted a Public Records Act request to the state board, and the Tribune submitted a Public Records Act request to the state board. I think those documents were in response to the Tribune's Public Records Act request, but I could be wrong about that. The district can clarify that. And as I recall, I submitted a relevance objection to those documents because they included a lot of public comments on the state revolving fund loan.
I agree with that. There are two Public Records Act requests that I'm aware of. One was from Ms. Tacker to the prosecution team. One was from the Telegram Tribune to the State Board. The State Board responded, provided documents to the Telegram Tribune. Those documents were put on the Telegram Tribune's website, and those documents were submitted to us by the CSD. And I have listed those documents at the end of Master Document List 1. So they're included here.
So what documents haven't been produced, Mr. Onstott? I want to make sure I understand.
There were two Public Records Act that requests that I made myself and got back denial letters, and in that denial letter it says we'll produce them voluntarily and give you the cost sometime around the end of January.
I can't speak for the state board. There's two different entities here. If there was a Public Records Act request to the state board, that's at issue. We can't resolve it here.
Let's see. Was that a request that came to this regional board or to the state board?
There, like I said, there were two of them. One came to the regional board.
Okay.
One went to the state board.
Okay. Well, the one with the state board, that's a separate agency.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, we don't control their files and documents.
I understand.
Okay.
And
is the first one Ms. Tacker's request? Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Has Ms. Tacker received the documents that were spelled out in her specific request?
She received some documents, yes. There's no way of telling if all that were responsive were received.
Okay. Did the prosecution team make a representation that they had reviewed the records and this is all that they could produce in response to the request?
May have been, but I'm not aware of that. I don't know.
Okay.
We did.
Okay. Well, if they've made that representation, I don't know where else we could go with this at this point in time. That's their representation. Okay.
And for the record question, I think what is being proffered by the CSD for admission to the record are the Tribune documents, not the documents produced by staff in response to Ms. Schricker's request, correct? I'm sorry.
Mr. Shallcross.
Yeah, I have a question. If the original request was from Ms. Schricker as
Ms. Tacker.
I'm sorry, Ms. Tacker as a member of the public, then why is the CSD
because
attorney answering?
And well, Ms. Okun has accepted and deemed that request and is responding to it on a basis of accommodation.
Right.
So that the documents are produced and not withheld.
I understand that.
Based on potentially a valid objection, okay, that it's not a proper request.
But if the person requesting it is a member of the public and not a member of the CSD, why is it even before us in this hearing?
Well, that's a good question.
Because the request was taken by Regional Board's counsel that Ms. Tacker was acting in her capacity as a member of the CSD board member.
Well, and I'm sorry to confuse the issues by getting the two Public Records Act requests confused. Really, all that's being proffered for introduction into this hearing record are the Tribune documents. That's my understanding. And those documents are were not in the original index. So the question for the CSD is, for what purpose are those documents being offered into evidence?
You gave two, the former and the latter. It's the latter, that they're for ongoing issues of compliance.
Okay.
That they show the whole process, which was made relevant in this hearing, on what was going on in relation to the SRF loan,
okay,
the funding with the state, our negotiations with the state. All of that's been part of this record, and those show the behind the scenes of what was happening the whole time we were negotiating.
Very good. And with that as foundation, I believe it was contemplated by the chair to go ahead and admit those documents as part of the
that's
final
right
index.
Right.
We just needed to clarify the basis, and since there was no cover note explaining what the relevance was, we wanted to clarify that. Thank you. Does the index reflect that determination, Tom?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Okay.
But I have a comment on this.
Go ahead.
The documents that we're talking about now that have been admitted from the Telegram Tribune website, submitted by the CSD, we've dealt with that now. There is an outstanding objection from the CSD regarding the Public Records Act request to the prosecution staff. It's separate from the Telegram Tribune documents. That's resolved now. There is an objection. I think it was Mr. Onstott in one of his emails that made the objection, saying you have not received all the documents that you asked for from prosecution staff.
Okay, maybe I'm. Do you have that? I don't have the Public Records Act request that you're referring to in front of me.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you have. It sounds like you anticipate resolving your, as you stated just a few minutes ago, you're going to resolve any remaining concerns about the Public Records Act response in a forum outside this one. Is that correct?
No. You're putting words in my mouth again. What I'm saying is we made requests, whether it's myself or through Director Tacker or through Julie Tacker as an individual, that issue is not relevant. The fact is that requests were made for some documents to be part of these proceedings. And I think that they are and have been. What I'm also saying is that because you can't mix whether they come into these proceedings with the legality or illegality of the denial of those requests and either the state or the regional board's desire to produce them voluntarily. Those will be dealt with in a different forum.
Okay, so all we have before us for the chair and the board to resolve today is the admission of the records that have been produced to date, and that was just dealt with, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And one other thing that was in that same paragraph of the December 12th letter was a request by Mr. Onstott that for the chair to reconsider, and I quote, that the chair reconsider its exclusion of records showing prosecutorial bias. We need to deal with that as well. Exactly what records are you referring to, Mr. Onstott?
Well, there were a number of records that the chair excluded. A couple of, in particular, are emails, and I think one, in fact, was put up on the overhead, the cartoon drawn by a regional board member. Everybody knew it was a regional board member, distributed at CSD proceedings. As our view is that the regional board staff, including the prosecution team, is biased and that excluding evidence, allowing us to show that, is an abuse of discretion. We should be allowed to produce evidence that either members of the board, staff itself, and or the prosecution team had a bias in moving forward towards the CSD and did not act objectively.
Mr. Onstad, I wasn't asking about the argument as to why it does or does not meet the standard for a prosecutorial bias argument. That's a legal argument that has not been briefed or had in any way. There were no citations to law. There were no citations to fact in your objection. All I am asking is specifically, what documents are you asking the chair to reconsider? I have the cartoon. Are there other specific documents that you're asking the chair to reconsider?
Yes. All the emails regarding the ACL complaint, of which Mr. Briggs was either the author, the recipient, or CC'd on.
Were those
produced?
Are those
late comments or other emails back and forth? Because I don't recall that there were any emails back and forth that were offered that were rejected.
Yeah, I don't recall seeing any specific emails being offered, being rejected either. I do recall the cartoon.
Okay,
so I'm
then that's fine. If they weren't rejected, there's no objection. They're in. Thanks.
Is there a number?
Well,
I
think we need to clarify whether there were documents that were rejected or not. It's not clear to me which documents Mr. Onstad's talking about.
It is not clear to me either. Michael, do you have any idea?
I don't know. Is there? Okay. Can you say what number is it? What exhibit number?
Well, I don't have those in front of me, but those specifically that were prior to the issuance of the ACL complaint. And if my notes are wrong, that they weren't excluded, then I will withdraw my objection.
I can't say whether they're excluded or not excluded if they're not referenced to a number on this list.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I remember the cartoon I excluded because it's a newspaper article. And when you say a regional board member, you don't mean one of us, but you mean an employee of the regional water board. And do you know if that was a prosecution team member who wrote the cartoon, or is this some other employee of the board?
Employee of the board. It was not a board member.
Okay. Well, okay. I had excluded that, and the newspaper articles are not coming in. I'm not going to change that ruling. But if there are emails that went back and forth, you know, where Mr. Briggs was involved in emails regarding the ACL, I think those should come in. I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't. I remember seeing some in that package of 126 letters that I read. So maybe at the lunch break, if you can identify any specific documents, Mr. Onstad, that you think you want to make sure are in and that go to this point, you know, we can deal with that later.
Okay.
Okay.
And I would just in order to make clear, to enable the chair to address the request for reconsidering the admission of the cartoon, I think it would be useful to have some questions directed at the prosecution team staff concerning the circumstances of the cartoon's creation. Who created it? What kind of employee were they? Are they part of this prosecution team? Did that have anything to do with the ACL? If you don't mind,
go
just
ahead.
A couple. I believe this would probably be appropriate for Mr. Briggs. Mr. Briggs, who was the artist who created that cartoon?
Scott Phillips, a member of the regional board staff and a resident of Los Osos.
And when did that happen?
I should say a former member of the regional board staff, former resident of Los Osos.
When was the cartoon created? Roughly.
I don't know the date. It might have been a year or so ago.
Okay. And does that person work for the board anymore?
No.
How long ago did this person leave the employ of the board?
Probably 6 months ago.
And did, I'm sorry, refresh my memory on the name?
Scott Phillips.
Did Mr. Phillips have anything to do with preparing the draft ACL or presenting this referral to the board for enforcement action?
No.
Has he participated in the preparation of this enforcement case in any manner?
No.
Has he made any recommendations to the board regarding enforcement in Los Osos outside the context of the ACL?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Did he identify himself in the as the artist, as an artist who was a regional board staff employee? Did it say Scott Phillips?
On the cartoon?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Engineer, Regional Water Quality Control Board?
Oh, no.
No?
He might have had his name on it.
Okay.
I don't recall.
All right.
Okay. So it's up to you, Mr. Chairman, whether you want to reconsider admitting that or not.
I want to keep to not having newspaper articles come in. I'm not going to change my ruling on that.
Mr. Chair, point of clarification, that cartoon, to my knowledge, was not a newspaper article.
Well, not an article, but something printed. I mean, it's an artist rendition. It's a cartoon. Okay? You're right. It's not an article in the strict sense of an article. And if the CSD wants to argue in closing that the prosecution team staff is biased, you want to refer to anything else like that, cartoons and things, that's fine. We'll go ahead and listen to that argument. All right. Okay. What is next, Ms. Schaffner?
I believe that those were all of the document objections raised. Oh, I'm sorry. There was one more objection raised, according to my notes, by the CSD that must be dealt with, and that was the blanket objection to everything submitted by the prosecution staff on December 12th. And I believe those were the documents concerning the various settlements of the various lawsuits concerning the funding of the Tri-W site and the Measure B. And the prosecution team had introduced those into the record in response to the chair's request for information on current and ongoing activities that may affect compliance. Is that objection still outstanding?
It is.
Okay. And that would be for the chair.
And is it based on the fact that it seeks documents that essentially go beyond the scope of my ruling on December 2nd?
In part, but we also object on the basis of relevance.
Okay. All right. Well, the objection is noted, and I'm going to overrule that request.
Overrule the request to admit the documents or overrule the objection?
Overrule the objection. In other words, I do feel, and of course it was my intent and desire after December 2nd that the district be given every opportunity to put into the record anything related to efforts they've made that would bring them into compliance with the board's orders or anything on the flip side that would bring them further away from compliance. And I think that those are relevant documents to that issue.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
If I might, just so I can have a clear record here. First of all, I believe those settlement agreements, and I quite frankly haven't looked at all of them, I believe they are pre-December 2nd. Secondly, our basis for our relevance objection is based on, it's a clear attempt by the prosecution team to make a run at the SRF loan monies to satisfy any fines that the district may be subjected to at the end of this hearing. We believe that there is a letter. First of all, we have the questions and answers from the board. But secondly, we have we believe that to the extent that those funds are around anymore, they're subject to the litigation between the district and the State Water Quality Control Board. So why put them in if the only idea here is to say you have money to pay these guys, therefore you have money to pay us, when the fact of the matter is any money the district has outside of those budgets that Mr. Buell put up there is money that is subject to litigation between the district and the State Water Quality Control Board.
All right. Both sides are going to have their opportunity to argue anything they want from those documents. So you'll have additional time to get into that. And it is argument that you're presenting to us.
So, Mr. Chairman, is your ruling that those documents will be admitted?
Yes,
okay.
They are admitted.
And then the last more general comment that I have is just to make sure we don't miss any loose ends. The indices that have been prepared by Mr. Thomas, which basically collect together the index of documents submitted by the CSD and the index of documents submitted by the prosecution team, to be clear, are the record in addition to the documents submitted at this hearing and admitted by the chair. That there is nothing else except what's on the indices as noted. And I believe we addressed all objections, and I just want to make sure there weren't any that were overlooked on relevance, on hearsay, on anything. So now's the time to make sure we've hit them all.
Just for the sake of clarity, and I'm not trying to be argumentative here. Macau City's administrative record, consisting of these three boxes right here from the prosecution team, are in the administrative record.
I believe those were included in the prosecution team's index of administrative records that they were that they offered, and therefore they're there.
Yes. The answer to that question is yes.
Is that correct, Ms.
Yes.
Oaken? The answer
okay.
is yes.
And then, as I understand it, that the regional board could have in their files documents in addition to what's in the administrative record, and are those in addition to what's in the Cal City's record, that are in addition to the documents that the prosecution team has specially offered?
The answer is no.
Are those documents in the administrative record?
No. If they're not on the index, if they're not on either of the indexes, or they weren't otherwise admitted specifically by the chair, they're not in the record.
Thank you.
Actually, the first item of the index refers to all Central Coast Water Board files, exhibits, and agenda material pertaining to this matter, including our general files. And at the last hearing, it was ruled that those were admitted.
Yeah, and since that time, we asked that the prosecution staff provide an updated comprehensive list of all documents it wanted to have in the record, and that was intended to expand upon that. Are there documents not in your index that you had otherwise thought would be incorporated by that, just to be clear?
Probably.
Well, perhaps at the break you could check that and make sure, because we are going to try and keep this definitive given the formal nature of this hearing and not open-ended. Given the many, many years of action on this action that's on this site, that could be problematic in preparing the inevitable Superior Court administrative record. So if you could just narrow that down, that would be great.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So on the master document list 2, which is the list of documents from the prosecution team, items 150 through 182, the final column will have to be updated now that the chair has made his decision about whether these are accepted or not. He said they are accepted. I'll have to update that column. So just let you know, there'll be another printing of this.
There was one other document that we admitted. I know there's been some that we submitted, and there's been some discussion about newspaper articles, but specifically there was a newspaper article that we submitted 2 days ago as being a statement or including statements against interest that you discussed regarding the sale of Broderson and the Tri-W site. And so I asked for a ruling on that, and also I asked for the opportunity to cross-examine the district regarding the statements, and that cross-examination might eliminate the need for the documents.
Okay. What I will do to be consistent, the article doesn't come in, okay? But, however, you have time anyway, and you can cross-examine their witnesses or anyone who made those statements and check into the veracity of the statements. So why don't we deal with it that way? But I want to be consistent with newspaper articles and cartoons not coming in. Okay.
Mr. Chair, then I have a question. We've identified two witnesses, Mr. Palemis and Mr. Briggs. How many do the prosecution still intend to call to present new evidence at 1 o'clock today?
Well, the only topic of our cross-examination, other than any cross-examination that results from their additional examination, would be regarding the issues, the sole issue of the sale of those two properties. And so at this point, I anticipate examining Ms. Schicker and Mr. Blesky, and depending on what their answers are, there may be additional witnesses if they say they don't know the answer, but the person sitting next to them does.
Their cross-examination is more limited than yours. Okay. I'm allowing you to go into areas that you didn't cover before with these witnesses. Their cross-examination is limited to issues that I ruled on would be opened up after December 2nd. So you've got more leeway in your cross-examination than they do. So I don't know how much time they're going to need for that, but Ms. Oaken just told us kind of the substance of what that is going to be.
Okay. I understand the chair's ruling, and again, for the record, we would object on new testimony at this late date. It's not cross-examination. It's direct examination of an adverse witness. Cross-examination, by definition, is limited to the scope of the witness's testimony at the first instance, and we would ask the chair to reconsider the 90-minute time limit since we now have at least three more witnesses the prosecution are going to call, and we should have an opportunity to ask them questions as well.
Mr. Chair, you can't have it both ways, it seems to me. You've already ruled that the district is going to be examining its witnesses on issues that it did not cover before. So if you're going to apply one standard, you should apply it
to both. And I think you're right. And so I will give the prosecution team that leeway with their remaining time. That'll make it more even-handed. Thank you, Dr. Press. Okay, are we through the document issue, Mr. Thomas and Ms. Schaffner?
Yes.
Okay.
I have nothing more further. Thank you.
Good. All right. Now we can get to the